We have 2 weeks left of Philippians, and can you believe summer's over, right? That's right. You all can fight and shake your heads and say, no, it's not, but man, we're in this weird period, right, where the last couple weeks of August, you're trying to cram everything in and get ready for school and get ready for work and get ready for, like, it's this next 2 weeks is a crazy time, so just soak it all up. Stay up late, go to the beach, get the last times in at the pool. Like, just live into these next 2 weeks of summer. Because, man, then it's fall, and then it's winter, and you know what winter is like. So, now that you are all depressed, we have 2 weeks of Philippians left, and I couldn't be more excited about what's coming in the fall. We're casting vision, we are beginning our year right. On September 8th, we go back to two services. We're going to pack the house. And man, we have got some amazing things in store. But for now, I'm pumped about these last 2 weeks of Philippians. I don't know about you, but Philippians has been an extremely challenging book. It seems like every page you flip over, every chapter you read, there's whole new perspectives and challenges that leap out of the pages that you think, like, man, Scripture was written so long ago, different time, different place, different part of the world, but how on earth can it be so applicable to what's happening today? Paul wrote the book of Philippians to the church that he started. And Paul wrote this book to try to talk back to his church and say, hey, this is how I want you to think, this is how I want you to believe, and then this is how I want you to live. Like, this stuff, this gospel, this Jesus stuff is actually supposed to be believed and lived out. It's actually supposed to transform the way that you think. It's just not this thing you go, well, I do this on Sundays, that's great. It's just something that I do every now and then. It's just something that I like loosely believe in. Like this, the gospel, Jesus, is something to give your entire life to. And over in Scripture, there's the promise that if you give your life to it, it will absolutely change your life. I love that there are countless stories in this congregation as I look out as to how Jesus has changed lives, is in process of changing lives, and the hope, because Jesus is Jesus, that he will continue to change lives. Amen? Today, we're going to talk about Philippians chapter 4. And we're going to talk about the verses where Paul, remember, Paul's in prison, right? He's in prison. He doesn't know what's going to happen. He's writing a letter. He doesn't know if he's going to stay in prison. He doesn't know if he's going to get out of prison. He doesn't know if he's going to be killed in prison. Like, he is in a stressful situation. But if you read through the book of Philippians, that doesn't seem to slow him down. In fact, that almost seems to get him laser focused on the gospel and on Jesus. So he comes into chapter 4 and he's finishing up the letter and he is now giving a list of things that he's talking to the church and he's going, do this. So he says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. We're going to spend some time on those verses next week. This week, we're going to spend time on do not be anxious about anything. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus. Don't be anxious. Don't be anxious. Today, We're going to touch on anxiety. We're going to talk about that a little bit. Anxiousness is a growing issue in our time, right? Everyone that I meet is anxious. You can study actual data that says the upcoming generations are among the most anxious generations there will ever be. Like, think of the scope of our world and our time and the history. These generations that are coming up behind myself are the most anxious there have ever been in all of human history. That, to me, is insanity, right? Anxiety, being anxious can be difficult to define, but most of us know exactly what it is and have experienced it, right? It can be this hard thing to define. Is it psychological? Is it physical? Is it emotional? Is it all these things? Most of us have a difficult time defining it exactly, but it's something that we all deal with and struggle with. And today we're just going to touch on it. I hope to do a sermon series later on this year that it deals with it in a fuller capacity, because I think we need it as a society and as a church. But anxiety can be difficult. And whenever we talk about anxiety, I want to assure you that I believe in a holistic approach to dealing with anxiety. We're always going to talk about the spiritual aspect of anxiety, right? I believe anxiety, as with most issues, has at its core a spiritual aspect to it. We're always going to talk about prayer when it comes to anxiety and working through it. And we are always going to be talking about and recognizing that you are a holistic person, you are a whole person. So you can't just cut the physical out and move it over here and go, okay, that's solved. Now everything else will fall in line. Sometimes when we're talking about anxiety, we need to talk about diet. We need to talk about exercise. We need to talk about sleep. Sometimes when we talk about anxiety, we need to talk about going to see a counselor and actually working through the things that are making us anxious. Sometimes when we're talking about anxiety, we're talking about, hey, I think you really need to go to a doctor and figure out what's happening in your head and figure out how they can help you medically. See, as a church, we can talk about the spiritual aspects. You don't want us talking about medicine. That's a little out of our league. But we can walk with you as you take those steps. But anxiety is a huge thing that we're dealing with on individual levels, on community levels. It's a huge thing we're dealing with in our world. So that's my little disclaimer, that we are holistic. We realize that sometimes the spiritual goes along with the physical, goes along with what's happening in your brain, and it all works together. So I don't ever want you to hear me say, just pray about it and it'll be fine. I will never tell you that, because it's usually a little bit more complicated than that. Can I get an amen? Amen. All right. So we're all on the same page. We're going to work on a little bit more response this year, just so you know. We're going to get like people screaming, and then I'll tell you to be quiet after you're screaming and saying, just. So Paul is in prison, right? Like, back up, this scenario in which Paul is writing is pretty interesting. He's in prison. He doesn't know what's going to happen. He doesn't know if he's going to get out. He doesn't know if he's going to be killed. Like, he doesn't know what's happening, and he's writing, and he tells his people, don't be anxious. The original Greek text actually says, be anxious for nothing. And there's this command that Paul is giving. Hey, look, church, be anxious for nothing. Nothing. Does anybody else read that and have an issue with that? Or read that and just dismiss it? You're like, well, that's not realistic. Different time, different place, Paul. Life was a lot easier back then. You didn't have Facebook, Paul. You didn't have Instagram. You didn't have the issues that I got, Paul. Like, it's different time, different place. I don't need to worry about that. I don't think that's true. I think what Paul says back then is same for us today. Church, be anxious for nothing. How many of you are anxious about something? Some of you are like, man, I wasn't anxious until you asked me to raise my hand, and now I am anxious. Thanks a lot. That's how we teach here. We want to like really get you into the text. So, some questions. What makes you anxious? Like, really think about it. Like, if Paul's going to sit there and be anxious for nothing, my first response after thinking, well, you're crazy, Paul, that may not be realistic, but you're commanding me to it, so it must be realistic, is, well, what makes me anxious? So think about it in your head right now. What is making you anxious? Anxiety is this fascinating thing because, in my view, when I'm the most anxious, I am worrying and being consumed by things that I really have no control over, right? And my level of anxiousness can depend, can be from a thought that starts to make me a little anxious to a greater thought and worry that almost consumes my mind and physical being. And some of you know exactly what that's like. But it's when worry, when it takes over and becomes so big that we don't know what to do with it. So what makes you anxious in life? I tell you just a recent story. We went to the Mall of America. Was it last week? 2 weeks ago? We went to the Mall of America. We're like, let's go. We'll meet up some family, and we're going to hang out and do some rides with some kids. How many of you would think the Mall of America should not make you anxious? Like, take out the crowd, right? Like, for some people, like, crowd, just being with a lot of other people creates anxiety. But my initial thought would be going to the mall, taking your kids for rides should not create anxiousness inside of you. But it did. Two separate times. And I'll just be completely honest, because I think some of you probably have similar thoughts. So I'm standing there in the middle of the rides, and all of a sudden, a thought snaps into my head. What happens if someone comes in and starts shooting? Right? Like that's something that in our day and age we are dealing with. And it's something in our day and age that if we did just raise your hand if you've had that thought before, there's probably a lot of us that can walk into a place and go, huh, what's my exit plan? Who else is in here? Where do I go? Where do I run to? Like, all these things that are happening in our world create this level of anxiety inside of us. The other time in Mall of America, standing on the third floor getting some ice cream with the family, and all of a sudden I'm standing next to the balcony with my kids, right? And I have a thought. What if some stranger comes over and tries to throw my kid off the balcony? This was a news story a while ago that some guy picked up some stranger's kid and threw the child off the balcony to three floors below. that started to raise anxiety in me. Right? We live in a world where we are surrounded by things that will make us anxious. We live in a world that we are completely connected and we know so much of what's going on, and so much of that, even though it's not happening to us, it has a direct effect on how we live. I had to add another scenario, I think maybe it was a year ago, where I was getting ready to have a meeting, and I've noticed my levels of anxiety when I go into meetings were slowly and steadily rising, and I had a meeting planned, and I noticed my level of anxiety was through the roof. Like my heartbeat was beating faster. And there was nothing special about this meeting. Like there was nothing to be afraid of, but I was afraid going into that meeting. Right? I ended up praying, and through prayer, I ended up realizing, like, I actually need to go to a counselor and sort this out. And guess what? It worked. It helped in that little scenario. But what makes you anxious? I heard this illustration from Craig Rochelle, and he said, look, we all know that check engine light that's on your car, right? So how many people right now have the check engine light on in their car? Amen. Can I get an amen for all of us slackers? So whenever the check engine light comes on, there produces a little bit of anxiety in me, but not enough to apparently do anything about it half the time. And then you do check in, you're like, it's that sensor, I don't want to pay $30 for it, it's fine. So, but what is the check engine light there for? The check engine light isn't the problem with your vehicle, right? The check engine light is not the problem, surely. You replace that light bulb and put in a new one, there's going to be another check engine light that comes on because you're not talking about the problem with the car. The check engine light is the signal that you need to take the car in and have it looked at and take a deeper look at what's going on inside the car so that you can address the real problem. For so much of us, when we feel anxious, it's our check engine light. And it's our check engine light. And what does Paul say to do? He says, be anxious about nothing. But in everything, in every situation, pray. When your check engine light comes on and you are anxious about something, Paul is saying, hey, your first response is to pray. That will lead to other responses. It may lead you to more holistic responses to get to the bottom of why you are anxious, why you are feeling this, why this is rising up inside of you, why this is taking over your emotions and your mind and your body. So Paul is saying, when you are anxious in a relationship, it's time to pray. When you are anxious for something that's going to happen at work, it's time to pray. When you're anxious for that meeting that's coming up, it's time to pray. When you wake up at 3 a.m. and you can't shut your mind off because there's so much going on that you're trying to solve, that you're worrying about, that you're consumed about, it's time to pray. Saying when you're not happy with yourself and that's causing worry and stress and anxiety, it's time to pray. When you can't shut off the voices inside of your head and it's causing you to be paralyzed, it's time to pray. When you're looking at your expenses and they are majorly outweighing your income, it's time to pray. When scrolling through social media and something is triggering either anger or fear or the feeling of not being good enough inside of you, it's leading you to a time to pray. Anxiety is first and foremost our check engine light that it's time to pray. So I wanted to talk about something real quick illustration, and it's been something that's been very helpful in my life. When I was in college, I was sitting through a message, and the speaker was up on stage, and she said, "Hey, this is what happens. I'm a very anxious person. This is what happens when I'm filled with anxiety. I get myself a God jar. And the way that I work through my anxiety and really live out this passage that Paul is talking about is I will write down everything that I'm worried about and I will put it in the God jar. And then when I start worrying about it again, I will take it out and I will carry it around in my pocket. And when I'm ready to give it back to God, to stop worrying about it, stop being anxious about it, stop being consumed by it, I will put it back in the God jar." At the time, I was in college, and I thought that was kind of silly, right? Who needs to do that? I don't need to do that. But years later, when I found myself up consistently at 3 a.m., worrying, consumed with anxiety about life, what did I do? Mentally, I pulled out my God jar. My God, I'm worried about money. Okay. God, I'm ready to give this to you. Like to not obsess over it, not worry about it, not be consumed by it. I'm ready. There. I'm no longer going to think about it. Like I'm going to do what I need to do, but I'm going to take that thought and that worry that's consuming me and put it in the God jar. I'm worried about relationships. I'm going to put this in. I'm awake at night. I can't stop thinking about it. I'm going to put this in the God jar. God, I know I gave the whole money issue to you. Like, I know I said, like, I wasn't going to worry about that. I wasn't going to think about that. But I'm actually starting to think about that again, and I'm starting to think that maybe you're not showing up in the timeline that I want you to show up in, or you're not, you know, I played the lottery, and I didn't win, and that was really the way that I thought you were going to bless me, and that didn't work. So I'm going to take this back out, and I'm going to put it in my pocket. Don't play the lottery, just so you know. I'm going to take that back out, and I'm going to carry around this worry again. And when I'm ready to give this back to you, I'm going to put it back in your jar. Because really, you are the one that can do something about this. Really, I mean, Paul is talking about, hey, in every situation, by prayer and petition, it's really making your needs known to God. And some of you might be freaked out by the word prayer, and you might think, well, because I'm not praying the right way, that's why I'm not getting X, or that's why God's not coming through. But all I want you to know is all you need to worry about is making your needs known to God. And doing is something as simple as writing down your needs on a piece of paper and putting them in a jar is one of the ways that you can make your needs known. Sometimes we make prayer really complicated. And really, it's just your Father that wants to hear from you, wants to know what's going on in your life, wants to know the needs that you have. If it's big enough to worry about, if it's big enough to be anxious about, it's certainly big enough to pray about. And I'm running short on time, but do you know what happened when I started to do this? Maybe you've experienced it with your own anxieties. When your anxiety level gets too high and you figure out the way that you need to work in it and deal with it, and then it lessens your anxiety level. That's what happened to me. As soon as I started doing this, I started sleeping at night. I started to be less stressed and on edge during the day. And I still do this in my head. If I wake up at 3 a.m. and I'm worried about something, there has never been a time when I've woken up at 3 a.m. and have actually been able to do anything about the thing that I was worrying about. Can I get an amen? But every time that I've done this exercise where I'm anxious, I stop, I pray, and then I mentally in my head go, I am going to write this down because it's a worry that's consuming me, and I'm going to give it to you, God. And when I start worrying about it again, I'm going to take it out, I'm going to put it in my pocket and walk around with it until I'm ready to get to the point to give that back to you. And it's my way of living out this, don't be anxious, by prayer and petition, give everything to Jesus. And what's the promise that follows? And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So this is just a very small sliver of a greater conversation on prayer and anxiety. But I want to lead us to the part where we're taking these verses seriously and we're saying, be anxious about nothing. Okay, how do I do that? First, it's by praying. And then what else in my life needs to happen so that I can give more things to God so I'm less anxious? And what does that look like in my life? So the action steps for today. And go to the next slide, please. The first question is, what are you anxious about? What is inside of you? What's happening in your life? What relationships broken? What stressors are on your life that are causing anxiety? I'm guessing every single person in this room has something. What are your next steps to deal with the check engine light of your soul? Maybe it's to pray. I know we follow Jesus and all that, and I know we go to church, but sometimes when we are feeling anxious, the last thing we do is pray about it. But what are the next steps? Maybe you've prayed about it, and you need to just tell somebody about it, because no one knows what you're struggling with. No one knows what you're dealing with. Maybe your next step is to go into counseling. And counseling is a wonderful, marvelous thing. And sometimes it gets a bad rap, but I want to tell you, I want everybody to go to counseling. Maybe your next step is to go and see a doctor. What is your next step? And then as you walk through those steps, do you need a God jar? I do. It helps me to be anxious about nothing. It helps me to have my first response to pray. And then there's the promise that you will receive the peace of Jesus. Amen? So I want to, worship team's going to come up and lead a couple songs, but I want to give you an opportunity. Take this first song that they play and write down what's making you anxious. Write down what is causing anxiety in your soul, in your life. It could be one thing, it could be a list of things. And then what I want you to do is fold it up and put it in your pocket. And then when you're ready, give it to God, whatever that looks like for you. Let's pray. Jesus, lead us. We know that you are a loving God who wants his kids to come to you. We know that you want to know what's going on in our life. We know that you are a God that wants to walk with us. Jesus, I pray as we hear the words, be anxious about nothing. I pray that we would not see that as some command that's so far off and non-realistic, but I pray that we would see that as an invitation to bring our anxieties, our worries, the things that keep us up at night, the things that stress us out, the things that paralyze us in life to you. And trust that you are going to lead us in a holistic way of healing. We give these things to you in your name. Amen.